Peace be with you. Good morning and welcome to Peninsula United Church. I'm Greg Glatz, the coordinating minister. And whether you're here in person or watching online, we're glad you're part of this faith community. Today, we continue our July reflection series called A Summer Fruit Basket. And the basket of summer fruit is a powerful image in the book of Amos. It's actually the focus of our scripture reading today, so we'll hear more about it later. But it represents this delicious abundance that we enjoy when something is fully ripened. It's also meant to remind us that ripened fruit can soon become rotting fruit if we don't use it. Today, we take a second look at the book of Amos with a focus on what does and what does not feed the hunger that we have within us. We acknowledge that we worship this morning and work as a faith community every week on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Semiahmoo and Coast Salish peoples. We acknowledge that there were people here before us who are still here and who always will be here, for whom this place is home. As we begin to worship this morning, I invite you to stand as you are able to sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, especially this weekend as White Rock celebrates Pride, but every week and every day, Peninsula United Church is an affirming ministry. We publicly, intentionally, and explicitly affirm people of every sexual orientation and gender identity. And we likewise affirm people of every age, ability, ethnicity, and economic circumstance. We do this because we are committed to being a community where all can find and be found by God through faith, engagement, and service. We encourage you to make connections today. I know some of you might be here for the first time, or maybe this is your second time. You're early attenders and you're going, yeah, it's just enough for me to get into the pew and get through a service and go home. And I get that. I was once invited to my friend's church. Well, somebody I met on an airplane, actually. I circled that church five times before I even went in. But if you have the courage and if you feel a little push inside, say hi to someone that you haven't talked to before. Let them know you're glad to see them. Ask questions if you have questions, and check us out on peninsulaunited.com. There's a lot of information there, and it's growing every week. It'll help you understand what we're about and why we're here, and whether you've been here a short time or a long time, I think there's something for everybody on that website because it keeps changing. We have a newsletter, amongst other things. We have a reflection page that's going to be launched soon. And by the way, our newsletter is subscription only, so we don't just send it to you if we get your email address. You can go to our website, sign up. We have a Friday newsletter that kind of gets you set up for the weekend, and a Tuesday newsletter that looks back on what we reflected on. Also want to invite you to come downstairs after the service. It's a second hour where I think good connections are made and in a very natural, easygoing way. And it might help you feel like something happened in church, not only while you're up in the sanctuary, but something happened while you're downstairs. You talked to somebody, somebody said something, or you had a chance to share something that really made the day come together for you. So join us downstairs for coffee and snacks. I don't want to steal Raquel's thunder, but I think there's going to be an announcement about cake as well. So we'll get to that later. As we light the Christ candle this morning, let this lectionary lesson from Colossians inspire us. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Though I may speak. able to, please stand with us. We're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name.
Our reading today is Amos 8, 1 through 12. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Well, on that happy note, thank you for reading, Colleen. Glad you did it. Better you than me. Especially that part about being bald. Felt I was living into that prophecy. By the way, come back in August. Colleen will be offering a reflection on a Sunday morning in August. Looking forward to that. I get after everybody for coming up here making announcements and not introducing themselves, and I don't think I introduced myself this morning. So for those of you that are visiting or checking us out, my name is Greg Glatz, and I'm the coordinating minister here at Peninsula United. Well, this morning, the good news, despite the somber tone of that scripture lesson, the good news is that God can satisfy the hunger that we feel within. And I want us to believe this good news because we can experience this kind of abundant life that the Bible talks about instead of living a life of spiritual scarcity that seems to be so common in our society today, perhaps every society all times. An example of that for me was a piece I read in the New York Times this week. It was written by Crispin Sartwell, who's a senior fellow at the American Institute for Philosophical and Cultural Thought. And he wrote a piece for the New York Times this week called Finding Beauty at Maximum Discount. These are some of his words. You arrive rolling into a vast parking lot filled with cars of many colors, divided here and there by lines of corralled shopping carts, while big rigs in the service bays in the back and the dumpsters fill up through the day. You'll have to take a hike across the arid asphalt to get inside, but that's okay. Welcome to Walmart. Big box retail constructs its infinite aesthetic array out of hundreds of thousands of brush strokes, boxes of cereal, bags of cat food, aisles devoted to whatever holiday is next, this year's crop of dolls and Legos, rakes and baskets of bright pansies and begonias, pens and markers and hair gels, air fryers, blenders, nonstick pans, and greeting cards, and books, and underwear, and actual magazines. Big box retail is a gateway to infinitude. And then he concludes the piece with this: the moment you leave the store is the moment you begin to generate a new shopping list. Well, that might describe the gateway to infinitude, but it's not an infinitude of abundance. It sounds to me like an infinite filling over and over again of the emptiness we feel inside with things that cannot satisfy or sustain us. It kind of sounds like hell to me. Well, in today's Bible lesson, Amos has visions. It actually starts one chapter earlier in Amos chapter 7. Three of his visions are recorded there. And the vision that he has in chapter 8 in our scripture lesson today is his fourth vision. And it starts like all the visions do: this is what the Lord showed me. And what the Lord showed him was a basket of summer fruit. Well, what is so significant about fruit? In Deuteronomy 8, verse 8, this is way back in the days of Moses, the promised land is depicted as a land of wheat and barley, but also of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. And the summer basket, the summer fruit basket in this chapter of Amos contains four of the seven fruits of Israel: pomegranates, symbolizing righteousness; grapes, symbolizing joy; dates, symbolizing vitality; and figs, symbolizing peace. The other fruits are more grains. So if you're talking about fruit, when you're talking about the land of Israel, you're talking about these four fruits. They're celebrated in some of their festivals and holidays as well: pomegranates, symbolizing righteousness; grapes, joy; dates, vitality; and figs, peace. That's what the basket of summer fruit should bring up in your mind. But summer fruit is a bit of a wordplay in the original Hebrew. The word for summer fruit is keitz. But the word for the end is keitz. They sound almost the same. So the word for summer fruit, keitz, sounds almost identical to the word for the end, keitz. And I think that wordplay is meant to make Israel think, and us think as well. Are we ripe with the summer fruits of pomegranates, righteousness; grapes, joy; dates, vitality; figs, peace? Or are we coming to an end? Is it keitz or keitz? I think at this point in Israel's history, this time of the prophets, Israel was on the brink of spiritual decay. It was facing an end of sorts. As we discussed last week, military power and economic expansion had made a few people very rich and very powerful, but many of the people in the land suffered. In today's lesson, Amos speaks a sharp prophetic indictment against economic exploitation, greed, and religious hypocrisy. Let's break it down. You heard Colleen read the words. They trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land. That means the powerful are crushing the vulnerable economically and socially. The poor are treated as disposable. The suffering of the poor is ignored. Sound familiar? There's that line in our reading today: when will the new moon be over in the Sabbath so we may sell grain? The merchants are impatient for holy days to end so they can go back to making money. They observe religious rituals outwardly but are inwardly focused on profit at the expense of others. That might sound familiar too. Also, we read in today's lesson, we will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances. Well, the ephah is a measurement of grain. It's made smaller, so the customer gets less. And the shekel, which is a weight used to weigh it, is made heavier, so the customer pays more for less. They used rigged scales and deceitful business practices. We also read in this lesson, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. People are enslaved or sold into debt, bondage for trivial amounts. Life is valued less than a pair of sandals. Perhaps that sounds familiar. Selling the sweepings of the wheat, we also read in the lesson. Even what would be considered garbage, the sweepings meant for animals or discarded, are sold for profit. again, to maximize gain without care for fairness or need. So why is this happening? Why is it more of a Cates, the end, instead of a Cates, the abundance of summer fruit? Well, I think what was true in the days of Amos is true for us today. The human condition is we try to fill our inner emptiness with things that cannot satisfy, instead of summer fruit, like pomegranates, righteousness, grapes, joy, dates, vitality, or abundant life. Figs, peace. Gabor Mate has written a very powerful book called In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts. By the way, our latest claim to fame, Karina and I, is that we saw Gabor Mate in person at the University of British Columbia when we went to see Naomi Klein speak. So I think there's something brilliant about that image, hungry ghosts. He says he borrowed it from the Buddhists, who have this idea of hungry ghosts. The hungry ghosts are creatures with large, empty bellies, but very small, scrawny necks and tiny little mouths. So they can never get enough. Their bellies are big, but their mouths and necks are small, so that the food can't get in there. They can never fill the emptiness inside. And I think the image of hungry ghosts reminds us of how greed and cravings can trap us in our own suffering. The hungry ghost image makes us reflect on our own attachments and how they diminish our freedom, our spiritual vitality. We are in many ways an addicted society, and addiction shouldn't be met with judgment. It needs to be met with compassion, but it also needs to be met with honesty. Addiction is always about trying to fill that emptiness inside from things on the outside. There are many addictions: alcohol, drugs, food, consumerism, sex. The list is long. I think many people in government, business, religion are addicted to power. They are addicted to wealth. They're addicted to acquisition. They want to make themselves bigger. And that addiction is always about the emptiness that you try to fill from the outside. And for each person, I suppose, there's a different way of filling that emptiness, but the emptiness always goes back to what we didn't get when we were very small, I think. And we just keep trying to compensate and cope. And we wind up with very large stomachs and small mouths and scrawny necks. We cannot fill that inner emptiness. If you look at the story of Jesus or the Buddha, they were both tempted by the devil. One of the things the devil offers them is power. And they both say no because they have the power inside themselves. They don't need it from the outside. They don't want to control people. They want to teach people by example, not through force. They refuse power. Jesus says, "The kingdom is within you." The Buddha says, "Don't worship me. Find a lamp inside yourself. Be a lamp unto yourself. Find a light within." So I don't think any of the things that we try to fill our empty lives with are going to fill our empty lives. And I don't think looking to people in power to solve all our problems is going to help either, because I think they're often some of the emptiest or hungriest people in the world. Because we have tried to fill that void with things that cannot satisfy instead of summer fruit, our mouths and necks have become very small. Even as our empty stomachs grow, we are starving to death spiritually. And in the words of Amos from our lesson today, "The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the words of the Lord, but they shall not find it." And I think this is not so much about God is not there, but when we are filling the emptiness inside with all the wrong things, we lose the ability to sense God's presence, to hear God's voice, to see God at work in our lives. And it truly is a thirst and a famine. Here is our invitation to transformation. Give your hungry heart to God. Don't be a hungry ghost anymore. Bring that hunger you feel inside to God. In the prophet Ezekiel, we read these words, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." This is spiritual heart surgery that Ezekiel is talking about. And it's just as important as the heart surgery that some of us get physically at different points in our lives. We need a new heart. The Apostle Paul says it in many different ways, but one of the best ways is in his letter to the Romans. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And what happens when God's love is poured into our hearts? Well, the writer of 1 John says there's no fear in love. That perfect love casts out the fear. God replaces the fear, the hunger, the need for things that can't fulfill us with love. I am enough. I'm okay. God is with me. I am not alone. Or in the words of today's post-reflection song, "Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I'm empty, but I know that your love does not run dry." So give your hungry heart to God, and God will restore your heart. And if you're wondering, is that working? Is that happening? Is that going on? Is anything changing? Maybe sit down at the beginning of the day or several times a day through the day. Sit comfortably, gently breathe. And with each inhale, simple words, "I have enough." And with each exhale, "I am enough." Testify to God's love being poured into your hearts, filling that emptiness within. Let us give our hungry hearts to God, and God will fill those big stomachs. We will be hungry ghosts no more. He'll fill them with the pomegranates of righteousness, the grapes of joy, the dates of vitality, and the figs of peace. In the name, amen.
Thank you.
Let us take some time to pray together. Oh God, we gather before you this morning, reflecting on the vision that you gave to Amos, a basket of ripe summer fruit, representing abundance and yet also representing a world ripened for judgment, a world where the poor are trampled and truth is sold for a price. And yet, despite these ominous words, we come before you this morning, not in fear, but in holy longing. We bring you our hearts, ask you to give us a new heart, to fill our hearts with love. Let us be people who seek your word, who are never satisfied with easy answers or shallow peace, but who delight in doing what is just and loving mercy and walking humbly with you. Oh God, make us hungry for the things that last. Make us hungry for the food that can feed us, for pomegranates, grapes, dates, and figs, for righteousness, joy, vitality, and peace. Hungry, we come to you this morning, and we offer ourselves to you this morning, ready to be filled by your Spirit this morning, ready to have your love poured into our hearts and ready to be poured out for others. This morning, we pray for all who suffer from prejudice, greed, or violence. We pray this morning with grief and righteous anger for all who endure war, for all prisoners of politics or religion, for all refugees, for the deported, for the ignored, for the forgotten, for those whose rights, whose very existence has been trampled upon. We pray for all in need by reason of famine and flood and storm, earthquake, wildfire, that their hope might be renewed through the help of others. We pray that peace may be restored and that justice would prevail. This morning we think of our friends and loved ones, of people in our community, and we pray for all who suffer the pain of sickness, loneliness, fear, or loss. We pray for those whose names are in our hearts right now this morning, or in the hearts of others. And we pray for those who are known to you alone, especially to those, for those people, that all would receive strength and courage. And now in Jesus' name, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we take our offering this morning, just a reminder that we don't take a collection during the service, but you can place your offering before or after the service in the church, the little church that's currently in the narthex. If you want to make an offering but don't carry cash, there's a QR code on the screen that will take you to our website that describes the many infinite ways that you can give digitally or electronically. And however you give, and whether it's financial or otherwise, we are grateful for your contribution to this faith community, grateful for your participation in this faith community, and grateful for your presence in this faith community. Let us pray, and then the church will come forward as we sing. O God, receive this offering this morning with our thanks for all that we have received from you. And may your generosity with us move us to be generous with our world. Guide us in the path of discipleship so that as you have blessed us, we may be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the coming kingdom near by the words and deeds of this faith community. Amen. If you have a birthday in July, you have to stay standing. The rest of you can sit down. Birthday in July, you got to stay standing. All right, come on up, Raquel. It's worth it.
Yes, we're celebrating July birthdays today downstairs with birthday cake. I know Monavoy's birthday is actually today.
Next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday. Sorry. Oh, Lynn's birthday is today? Or good. Oh, and Val and Pat and Dick and Ed, oh my gosh, I can't see all the way back there, but anyways, we're going to sing, and we'll sing Happy Birthday to All Our Friends.
Good morning, I'm Susan Harland, and I do want to say thanks to everybody that came out in support of Pride this weekend. We had 20, and some people are saying over 20, at the Pride Ride, and most people were in these fabulous t-shirts that were designed by Eric and ordered by Matt, and it was just amazing. It was such a great representation at Oxford and Marine. And then later, some of us were able to have conversations with folks, some of our siblings in the community for which this really mattered that we showed up. And then yesterday, we had so many folks from the congregation out at our booth. Whether you stayed there all day or stayed there for 30 minutes, it was so appreciated, and this isn't over. I think what we need to do is just continue to pray for the folks that may want to find a way to either worship with us or worship somewhere else, or to find some healing and celebration and joy. I just thank you so much and appreciate it.
Oh, one more announcement. Come on up, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Winkler, and I am the administrator of our little free pantry downtown. And I just wanted to say thank you to those that give regularly. The need, as most of us know, is just exponential. I have a friend who's a constant and generous giver who is often there, and he's estimating maybe 200 people a day are coming by. It's very hard to keep things replenished all the time, but I thank you for your generosity. And I just wanted to highlight that today at the public market, they're having a selling raffle tickets. I think that's how it works, and people have generously donated different items towards this raffle. And the public market, the farmers market, they make a decision each year where that earnings from those raffle tickets will go. And this year, they're going to come to the little free pantry. So I'm very happy about that. Yeah. I think that it's hard to maybe... I'm always surprised when somebody doesn't know about the pantry, but there are people. But there's also a lot of people that do know about it and are big supporters. Right now, I have a lot of gratitude for the Rotary Club of White Rock. Two things. One is that they honored me with a special award the other day for starting the pantry, which was beautiful. And the other thing is... And it's the Rotary Club excuse me, that is raising funds to rebuild the pantry stronger. And the work of the build is going to be done by the Men's Shed, which is a wonderful support group for men in the community. So I haven't met with them for a little while, so I don't know exactly what progress is being made, but I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you.
Do you have another announcement, Raquel? No, just hanging out? Yeah. It's good. It's awesome. I appreciate those announcements. They represent so much of the ministry that is so characteristic of the hearts of people here at Peninsula United Church and our surrounding community. And thank you for those announcements. Well, as we wrap up our service this morning and head downstairs for coffee and snacks and birthday cake, let's stand one more time as we are able and sing O For Our World. Stay standing for the benediction. Be blessed in knowing that God, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. So may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, the Holy Spirit keep you. Be compassionate of heart, clear in word, gracious in awareness, courageous in thought, and generous in love. Be good to each other. Be kind to yourselves. May you open your heart to love, even though it means inevitable pain. Allow yourself to contemplate the existence of God. Choose love over fear every time. Amen.
Jesus name. Our hands are ready now to make the world a place in which the kingdom comes. Out.